Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
19 keys, and this is
high level conversation. This episode is brought to you by Goldwater.
But you said something about beings, yeah. Right? Now, we always look at ourselves as people, but then when we talk about people, you're talking about human beings, right? Yeah. The being part is not something that the average person understands,
yeah.
Right? And then when you're saying that there are other beings,
yeah.
Who are these other beings?
I believe personally, just based off of my research, and I've gone through now over 1,000 scriptures, texts, papyruses, cuneiform tablets from all over the world. They all have a very similar story.
Mm-hmm.
And all these ancient civilizations talk about beings, not just beings who came here from other planets, people that look like us and we look like them. In other words, not identical, but very similar. In other words, a bilateral, bipedal hominid of some type that can maneuver around, that has appendages that can manipulate the environment, because without that, you can't move out into space and other places. And they also talk about multidimensional. You get into like the non-Kamadi and stuff like that. You're talking about multidimensional beings. And so in physics, in quantum physics in particular, they started theorizing on these dimensions and were able to even analyze and discover some that they actually do exist. And on top of that, they realized that the dimensions are stacked, so packed so tight on top of one another, that if you can phase shift your atomic structure, your subatomic frequency, you can walk right into another dimension. And so they started postulating, what if beings from higher dimensions are some of these apparitions and these paranormal phenomena that we're seeing? Are they able to maybe take a glimpse or a peek? Are they phasing through into our universe? And so from higher dimensions. And so they started really theorizing it. It seems to be, and based on my research, that there's people living everywhere, not just, and I'm not talking about little green men with antenna. I think that there's people living all throughout this universe in the third dimension, and I think there's people living all throughout even higher multiple dimensions, maybe at a certain level, a certain height in those dimensions. Maybe they don't have a real corporeal body.
Right, non-physical.
Non-physical, you know what I'm saying? But I believe that the consciousness is there.
Now that part is interesting, the non-physical aspect, because I understand that, and I can believe in that idea and that concept. It's like what people think. I think of angels as angles.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Because you know, angels are supposed to exist in between dimensions.
Yeah.
You understand me? And angles, you understand me, are dimensions.
That's right.
And so it's like perspective is your angle in which you see things and view things. And oftentimes angels come and gives us new perspective, new thoughts. You understand me?
Yeah.
Arriving from a different, completely dimension of thought that we couldn't arrive at ourselves.
Correct.
You know, but at the same time, when you're talking about non-corporeal bodies or non-physical bodies, you understand me? I like that concept, because when you're talking about time, you're talking about light, you're talking about all of these different ways in which light or energy can exist within and consciousness, right? The awareness of, you know, output, you understand, mathematical output, right? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that the universe is mathematical?
Oh, absolutely. The language of God is mathematics, because mathematics can literally explain everything that we experience and everything also that exists. Even the fact that we're existing in a light matrix can be proven through mathematics. So we're living in a matrix that's basically written on mathematics called Adinkra codes. Mm. And these Adinkra codes go all the way back to the Dogons, the Dogon tribes out of Mali, Africa.
Yeah.
They actually originated these codes, and they were given these codes by the Nomo, and they learned them. They drew them out as art forms. But now, and they put them on clothing and blankets and everything else. Mm.
So the Dogon tribe, very interesting tribe, you know, that was able to discover, you know, systems before telescopes and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So how did they arrive to be able to, because I know a lot of people, I posted about this not too long ago, people want to understand how the hell did the Dogon tribe arrive to it?
Yeah.
Right, you know, I just subscribe to, you know, us being, you know, gods, melanated beings on this planet Earth. We connected in a way that we just don't understand anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Yeah.
And being multidimensional, I think about physics in that aspect where you're talking about things being entangled. You're not Will and Jada entanglement, yeah. You understand me? Yeah. But quantum entanglement.
Right, right, yeah.
And, you know, once you understand that, being multidimensional to me is easily understood from the fact that you can break us down to atoms, mm-hmm. right? And then yeah. cells, and then we get into our skin and we see our physical.
Yeah.
But from an atomic level, those are different laws.
Yeah.
Right, and we're made up of atoms.
Mm-hmm.
So that an aspect of our existence is obeying different laws of the universe.
Yeah.
And then our cells are obeying different laws of
yeah.
gravity and magnetism, mm-hmm. right, and flow. But then we as human beings are obeying different laws,
yeah.
right, of gravity and magnetism in
yeah.
the universe. And
mm-hmm.
then we start to, we forget about the universal laws of our multidimensional self
yeah.
because we only know man's law.
Exactly.
You understand me? So I think being multidimensional is easily understood as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? But the idea of the Dogon people being able to chart systems, how were they able to figure that out, you understand me, before the Europeans had an idea
yeah.
of what was out there?
Right. Well, to be honest with you, if you go all the way back to the ancient Dogon history, before they got to Mali, they were in the land of Kem. They were the original inhabitants of the land of Kem before it was called Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Kem meaning the land of blacks?
The land of blacks, correct. Exactly, land of blacks. Kem was black, it's all black.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the tablets.
So Kem, so you got, there's so much Jews in here. But so in Kem, you understand me, that's Africa.
Yeah,
that's right. Africa. I know everybody called the Middle East as if the
you know it's Africa.
It's the Middle East is the most funniest made up concept, magical
yeah.
idea on the planet.
I know.
Because it's like you have in Africa, but no, this is like the Middle East Africa. It doesn't
right.
count for Sub-Saharan
yeah,
Africa,
yeah.
And Northern Africa, and
right.
East Africa. Like,
yeah.
But it's Africa, right?
It's Africa.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean,
for those who don't
Cairo
know,
is in Africa.
Cairo is in Africa.
Yeah, yeah. You know yeah. what I'm saying? I know, people still get it wrong till this day.
That's crazy.
It surprises
but go ahead.
Me. But so they, according to their records and their handed down verbal history, their records are etched into caves and stuff
yeah.
like that. The Nomo came here from Sirius B.
Mm.
Okay, so there's a trinary star system that we know of called Sirius, the Sirius star system, A,
mm-hmm.
B, and C.
Yeah.
B is a failed star, in other words, it ran out of fuel, turned into a white dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
These beings were orbiting a planet that orbited that star, according to the Dogon, not me, came here, they're called the Nomo, the Dogon called them the Nomo, taught them all about the star system, the orbital pattern, our entire solar system, the names, the shapes, the sizes, the colors of all the planets in our solar system, all the planetary alignments, and they even knew that that white dwarf star was so gravitationally heavy that one spoonful couldn't be lifted by over 1 million men.
Mm.
They even knew that. We learned that in quantum mechanics and quantum physics
right.
in the 1970s, 1980s. We hypothesized it. And obviously we couldn't even see that star until the 1970s,
wow.
I'm sorry.
So when did they record it?
Thousands of years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
It's like, we're talking about over 6,000-7,000 years. They've had depictions of them and everything else, and they taught them how to make
That's
these Dogon
fire.
Masks, but they also gave them the Adinkra codes. Now, these Adinkra codes look like designs on clothing and patterns. When you turn these designs into three-dimensional structures, they become something called error-correcting codes.
Mm.
And Professor James S. Gates, a black professor who used to be the science advisor for Obama when he was in office. He's now the professor, I believe, at the University of Maryland in supersymmetry and theoretical physics. He discovered these Adinkra codes, he rediscovered them, obviously, and he turned them into three-dimensional objects, and then from there he found the error-correcting codes. He was analyzing and accessing information about the ether of space-time, and he discovered that the entire ether, in other words, everything this soup that we're operating in throughout the entire universe is running on a specific code. It's called an Adinkra code. It's called error correcting codes. The same exact kind of codes that run search engines and web browsers.
Wow.
That's what's running the universe.
So listen now. At certain points in time in the interview, the glasses got to come off. This was one of those points in time
yeah.
when we're talking about Adinkra codes and going into multidimensional aspects
yeah.
of thinking. I want to talk to you about something else because I heard you talking about AI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at, we know we are in a time of declining population.
Yeah.
Right? Specifically in America, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? When Elon Musk said that, you know, we need population growth, and Bill Gates say we need population decline.
Yeah.
But what I realized, they were talking about two different places. Elon Musk was talking about America, Bill Gates was talking about Africa.
Yep.
So Bill Gates was saying that they're going to have another 2 billion people by 2050. We need population decline over there.
Yeah.
Elon Musk say, well, listen, we already have fewer births than we do deaths. Mm-hmm. You understand me? So therefore, we're on a decline.
Yeah.
We need more birth, right? So he trying to get out of here.
Yeah, he's trying to go. He's trying to get out.
He said, I'm out, man.
One
the party too
to
crowded. You feel me? He grew up in South Africa, so he know what it's like where it's 7% of them over there.
You know.
So it's interesting because I look at those who are in power, of course, power wants to maintain power.
Yeah.
Right? So it only makes sense that the people that are in power wants to continue to cede power, and they don't want to concede power to anybody else. So when you're talking about playing God, that's what they want to do. If you can't have a population size, we have to figure out another way to maintain control.
Yep.
And AI, to me, is one of those ways to be able to maintain control.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have the brain trust anywhere because people outside are no longer just coming in and saying, well, we'll give our brain to America, spark invention and innovation.
Yeah.
There's decreasing innovation and invention in this country.
Yeah.
So not only you got AI in the form of artificial intelligence,
yeah.
and I'm 19 keys, so I break things down into 1-9.
Yeah.
But A is numerical one, and I is numerical 9. And that 19 is representation of male, female, conscious, subconscious, you understand me? God itself, because everything is between that 1 through 9.
Gotcha.
Collapse back into a 1. When we talk about artificial intelligence, it's more so not even just AI of artificial intelligence, artificial insemination, artificial ingredients as well, right? And these are all the ways that I see that those are in power are working to maintain power utilizing AI. Can you speak upon the future of AI and where we headed?
Yeah, definitely. The AI is it's dangerous.
Mm.
If you look into the ancient Sumerian tablets, you'll discover in the Epic of Gilgamesh, who was considered to be half human, half god, they call him a demigod. His father was Enki, and he had a human mother, according to the tablets.
Yeah.
And they wanted to send Enlil, who was his uncle, sent him on a journey, a hero's journey. This is the original story of Noah's Ark, by the way. This is where the Bible got it from.
So Sumerian, for those who don't know, the Anunnaki, first civilization?
First civilization, the cradle of civilization, they call it the cradle of civilization coming out of Mesopotamia.
What did they invent?
Roads, city grid streets, bicameral Congress, plumbing systems. Mm. I mean, you name it, everything you could think of, schooling and chemistry and mathematics, and they even had a metric system back then. You're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, they had a metric system. And so they literally, the whole modern society we have today came out of Sumer. There's a tablet that where Enlil is speaking, and he's showing his sister this crystal tablet, by the way, is what it's called. And he's showing her his plans for all time on this planet. He said, these plans I have here, these plans are going to last for all time. And that's where we're still in it today. We've still got the same poly trickster program he put in back then. They had their own numerical kingship, the way they ran their selves, but they gave humans the political system.
That's a very
And they also installed
idea.
Inflation at that same exact time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a very, 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 very interesting idea.
Yeah.
So in that system, right, I know that children who are born, and it's anytime you're born in any time, you succumb to a dominant paradigm. Mm-hmm. The dominant frequency wins, right? And so do you believe that based on, you know, the Anunnaki or Enlil having this crystal tablet, you understand me, where he wrote down his plans for time dominance, you understand me, so that he can conquer ages of time, do you think that it's possible to go against that plan, you understand me, and create our own will for the planet?
Yeah, it can. The program that he put in was so good. You know, we're born, we're given a name, a race, and a religion, and we're basically, we grow up defending that whole identity. It's a fake identity. It's not really us. We've kind of forgotten and relinquished who we really are and given it up to this system, this institutionalized system that we put in place thousands of years ago. But if we really come together, that's the biggest part we got to do. We got to come together and stop all this divide and conquer. You know, you're this religion, I'm this thing, or you're this light skin and I'm this dark skin. All this stuff, we got to... You know, black men want to fight black men all the time. We want to attack each other socially now on social media because you're doing too good and I'm not doing as good as you. We got to drop all of that. We got to stop all of that. We got to synchronize. We got to realize that we're better together than apart, not tearing each other down, fighting each other, slapping each other, all this kind of crazy stuff. Yeah. We got to come together and we got to realize, man, how can I bring a piece of the puzzle? How can you bring a piece of the puzzle? You know what I'm saying? Just sitting here talking to you, you got pieces of the puzzle that I don't have, and I got pieces of the puzzle that you don't have. We can start building a whole doggone puzzle. We can put a puzzle together, mm-hmm. and you add more people. Next thing you know, that picture, that painting is amazing.
We can
make a mosaic.
Yeah.
And so until we get to that point, though, we're always going to be bickering and fighting and arguing over resources and pocket watching and hating and worrying about this, worrying about that, because that's the program they instilled into us. We got to now override this DNA and this RNA programming code. We got to say, you know what? We got to talk to ourselves. You know what? I'm being a hater right now. I'm being a troll right now. I'm pocket watching right now. I'm being jealous right now. Why am I doing that? And analyze inside of ourselves, why am I doing this? Why do I feel like this? And work on our internal self and learn how to not be that way. Learn how to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Learn how to try to work with somebody. Learn how to ask better questions so you can understand better instead of getting angry. And, learn how to control your emotional state. And when we can do that and we can link up and we can make big power moves together, that's when the world's going to change.
That's very powerful. You understand me? And, of course, it's something that, you know, we've known but not been able to do.
Yeah.
So we talk about DNA, right? Because really in order to give a breakdown on, you know, the Anunnaki and the Sumerians, we need to dedicate an entire...
Oh, yes, a whole.
Right, breakdown for that story. And we can, you know, say that for another day and time. But I want to go and talk about DNA and the ability to upgrade our DNA.
Yeah.
You know, one of the ways that I upgrade my DNA is through travel. You understand me? And through meditation and eating and environment, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about DNA and our ability to upgrade our DNA and some of the methods that we can utilize practically?
Definitely. First of all, people have to understand that DNA is a storage medium. It actually stores data and information. So when we say things like your program code and you're operating off your code, it's actually a true scientific statement. 1 gram of DNA can hold 433 petabytes of data. This one scientist, George Church, replicated his ebook 80 billion times and downloaded it onto 1 gram of DNA.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just one drop on the tip of your finger.
80 billion.
80 billion. What he did was he realized that DNA stored information. He was like, wow, our body is full of data. The whole human body is full of data. Billions and billions and billions of petabytes of data. And what he said was he realized you can take data from a server, a computer, I mean, and convert it from zeros and ones into A's, T's, and G's, which is what your DNA reads. And then you can actually download the data into the DNA and store data in a volume instead of storing it linear, like time, one arrow. But when you can store it in a volume, you can store much more information. So then he replicated it 80 billion times, and then he transferred it from DNA, from A's, T's, and G's, back into zeros and ones, and uploaded it back into a computer. So he recognized that DNA is also a server. He's like, man, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this ability in us to move data and information. Now, because of something called epigenetic memories, we know that 15 to 20 generations before us, that programming code was downloaded into our body. So you're born with this hard-coded information already in your body. Most of it is only, though, this is the sad part, it's only trauma that came from previous generations. All the slave beatings and whoopings and the separation of loved ones and the buck fighting, all that stuff, it's in your body.
Mm.
That's why when black people start feeling like I'm depressed, I got PTSD, but they don't know why. I'm feeling down or ill or angry or whatever. A lot of it is, it's the epigenetics. So to overcome this, what scientists realize, you can actually start to re-encode that DNA by doing simple things, simple. One thing is, write down 10 positive affirmations about yourself and then speak those out loud 3 times a day, out loud,
mm.
for 21 days and your DNA begins to change and rewrite itself. You begin to start to believe those cymatic frequencies coming out of your mouth, that your body is actually listening to the information. Like you said before, the body is mostly water. The water has memory. Mm-hmm. The water in your body speaks conscious energy. So when you are releasing that conscious energy into the atmosphere, your body is then absorbing it back into the water, and then that light force energy is rewriting your DNA. And so we can actually rewrite our DNA. We can change the way we think and see and feel about ourselves just by speaking out loud. Like you said, meditation, and I love travel. That's all I do is travel nonstop. You already know that. That's going to enlighten and open up, broaden all your horizons. It's going to make you see things from other perspectives and understand. It's going to raise your consciousness. Traveling, I tell people all the time, leave your zip code. You got to.
No, that's a fact, because you got to think about the making of a slave. If I want to make somebody a slave, I don't want them to see the world.
Right.
You understand me? I need them to only see from my perspective.
Yeah.
You understand me? Because therefore, they're going to have my same biases engineered within them. Mm-hmm. And I can control the radius of where they go.
Yeah.
You may think that, oh, if you walk over here, you might die. Somebody going to attack you. But if you actually traveled there, there's no way a person can make up that lie that causes you to halt yourself within fear.
Yeah.
Right? And most people, God is fear. Mm-hmm. You understand me? Everything that they fear creates the radius, the circumference, the diameter of their thinking, their movement, right? Their entire being. And so breaking away from, you know, those connections of fear allows you to be restored into who you really are, to walk around as a child. A child doesn't know fear.
Yeah.
A child is programmed into fear. A child is programmed into civilization.
Yeah.
You understand me? Coming under jurisdiction and code to operate in a manner of behavior that allows them to, you know, be so-calledly free within a world of this social contract that we have. But the reality of it is that for us to be able to develop and to grow into who we are and to be able to transition out of these thought forms that control this world, you understand me? And to break these cabals of power, it has to start with this realization that becomes a field. Or you talked about unity. You know, Elijah Muhammad say our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
But then when you think about what is an atomic bomb, you understand me? The breaking of those atoms.
Yeah.
You understand me? And you know, when we build, you know, the guys always talk about, you know, we cracking atoms.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Yeah.
We create new worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But what we think about all of that energy coming together, because, you know, human being energies are jewels.
Yeah.
You understand me? And if we were able to bring that electricity together, it literally would be an atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah.
And that sort of energy has the ability to create atomic shift on this planet.
Yeah.
You understand me? That can create new paradigm shifts mm-hmm. on this planet Earth.
Yeah.
So anytime anything is observed through the collective, a shift happens at that moment.
Yep.
There's no collective observations or world events that don't change the world.
Yep.
Because once the whole entire world gains a collective perspective on something, it creates a new dimension, a new angle, a new inventions, innovations, realities. Everything starts to happen from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been through many of them in our lifetime already.
Absolutely.
And it's just in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
we'd have been through recessions, paradigm shifts, different new presidents. We'd have been through 9/11. We'd have been through so many different things.
Yeah.
Today, during the timing of this filming, there's a terrorist attack that happened. And April happens to be one of the most observant months of white terrorist attacks, right? From Timothy McVeigh, from the Oklahoma bombings to the Columbine,
right?
Wow. And it's a few other ones. April is one of those, you know, it's the fourth month. It's a lot of things that happen on the fours.
Yeah.
And once we understand that we living in this world of a four-corner contract, you understand me, that, you know, paperwork rules this world and it lifts us off of being attached to the land itself.
Yeah.
That when we walk around, we don't look down at our feet and say we own the land. We have dominion over the land.
Yeah.
We think that we are always on someone else's land. We are always under someone else's control.
Mm-hmm.
And that mental observation depletes the soul of being able to have a real connection with the earth itself.
Yeah, it does.
When you look around, there's somebody that has sky rights and land rights.
Yeah.
Not ownership, but rights.
Rights.
Right? And once we realize we're living in someone else's plans, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you believe it's the Anunnaki, whether you believe it's the 1%, whether you believe it's these families of control, you have to know that we're living in somebody else's time system and it works very well.
Oh, very well.
Very well.
They mastered this sucker.
Way too well, matter of fact. You know, and we are controlled by invisible forces.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you do, you stop at that stop sign. You stop when there's a street light, you understand me? And you don't cross that line because something may happen to you. An invisible force, no police around, no people, but you still listen.
Yeah.
You understand me? That is, I mean, you're talking about some people, it may not be cars for miles.
Yeah.
And they will still follow that system.
Yeah.
Right? I want you to touch on the ideas of systems. Mm-hmm. You know, because institutions is what I focus on, like the reality of we building institutions are only things that can dominate existing systems.
Right.
But what is the energy form of a system to where it actually has real power and control over human forms?
Yeah. Well, the way that they built all these institutionalized systems that we have that are controlling mankind, they're all predicated on fear. You'll find that fear is the biggest thing. For example, you go to school, if you don't get good grades, you're going to get in trouble. You know, you won't pass the next grade. If you act up in school, you might get, you don't stay in line or whatever, you might get spanked with the ruler or the paddle or whatever. You know, obviously on the street is follow these exact rules or you're going to go to prison. You know, so they have all these systems in place. And these systems that they put in place, when they have these little fear factors built into them, even religion has a lot of fear factors put into it.
Absolutely.
People fall in line because why? Fear, the body pays attention to fear first. The mind is always, okay, there's fear. I got to stop this fear. I got to do whatever it takes to not allow this, whatever this fear is, to happen. I don't want it to happen to me. So the body goes into fight or flight mode, and then it starts focusing on the fear. Once the body does that, these people who rule, the ruling elite, they know that we got them with the fear. Now we can manipulate them to do whatever we want. So they always do the same thing. They create the problem, okay? They wait for the reaction, and then they provide the solution to that problem. So they're actually manipulating all sides of it based on fear. The fear is a key thing in all these institutions that has us locked in, because people, when that fear hits them, they don't recognize that fear is not real. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is, right? The acronym. But for them, it's as real as it can be. But in true reality, fear is a choice.
Yeah, fear comes from ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, once you know something, there's nothing to fear because you have all the data. You know exactly how to move, what not to do, exactly what it is, what's not. You know, and once you come to that realization, it gives you so much power over all.
Yeah.
Right? And so becoming fearless, you understand me, is key.
Yeah.
Our bodies all automatically store systems to tell us fright or flight.
Yeah.
That in moments, a situation is giving us a signal that you are in danger.
Yeah.
So this danger needs to teach you to make a decision.
Exactly.
Either this tiger that's coming right now, you understand me, you gonna stand very still and hope that it doesn't attack you, or are you going to run, right? Or are you gonna fight?
Yeah.
You understand me? Because they're fright, flight, then fight.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? And I think that that's one, and the fight is the decision that you have.
Yeah.
That even if this tiger is so close, there's, I can't run, I can't stand still now, not here. I have to figure out a way where I'd rather go down fight.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the part of human decision making that is never deposited as an idea of this is an option.
Yeah.
That you can always choose to fight.
Yeah.
Every moment in every situation,
right.
Even if the certainty is death.
Yep.
You understand me? Because at least you would die being alive.
Exactly.
You understand me?
Exactly.
But to freeze and or just to run, because there's times where, you know, flight is the most, you know, intelligent option that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But fighting.
Yeah.
There's something so powerful and majestic about that, because that's the human spirit colliding with whatever force that is in front of it.
Yeah.
When you see two boxers fight, those are spirits going at it.
Right.
And whoever has the most will win.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Not even sometimes we have the most skill or better technique.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all about who got that greatest spirit.
Yeah.
Because the fight is often won before you get into the ring.
That's right.
There's one spirit that has already decided, whether it's deep into their consciousness, subconscious, where they don't even know it yet.
Yeah.
They've already decided that they're the loser.
Yeah.
You understand me? And sometimes you can try to overcome it with confidence, right? What you know about yourself and my training, my skill, your overcome it with your ego, you understand me? Well, I can do this even if I can't do this.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Yeah.
But then there's mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
The mathematics of this person's skill, level, confidence, will, all of this is higher than your frequency.
Yeah.
And when these collide, this one is going to win.
Yep.
And that's why I like the idea of mathematics, because mathematics really sets us upon understanding reality mm-hmm. in a very practical and logical capacity.
Yeah.
There's spiritual intuition and spiritual intelligence, yes.
Yeah.
100%. And I think that wholly on this planet Earth, men and women are disconnected between the feminine energy that exists. Mm-hmm. Men are completely disconnected nowadays from the masculine energy, but the feminine energy, because we talk about a woman's movement, but there's not a lot of feminine energy involved in the movements. Mm-hmm. And the feminine energy, you know, Mother Tonetta talked about it. She talked about the nine planets, right? Mm. And the feminine.
Okay.
And in the connection with, you know, the astronomy and the feminine energy. Mm. And why that nine, you know, circulates that one. Mm. We go, hey, Toby, we'll get to the one nine.
Oh, yeah.
We go always find the one nine.
Oh, yeah.
But we talk about them that nine circulating that one, that consciousness circulating subconsciousness. And in 1995, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan opened up the Million Man Mars speech with the secrets of the number 19. And he talked about the idea that when that one is next to the nine, it represents something to be uncovered.
Wow.
You understand me?
Gotcha.
And then he went on to break down that these monuments that was there representing the 16 and the third president is 19. Mm. And he said that this monument up here is 555 feet high. You put a one next to that, represents 1555 when black people came over here.
Yeah.
And he said that on these shores and these steps, you understand me, were a trade of black bodies representing some of the Masonic secrets of how they first produced this country.
Yeah.
You understand me? And he was giving that breakdown in front of course, almost 2 million black men,
wow.
future president, future billionaires of the planet Earth, everybody.
Yeah.
That was a world-shifting event, but when I listened to that, I thought about the fact that, you know, the body itself, our bodies, you know, atoms, I call Allah the original man, A-T-O-M, you understand
right.
me? Or I say A-G-T-C, Allah God the creator.
Yeah.
You understand me? But at the end of the day, our bodies, our carbon bodies, our melanin bodies, we are electric, you know, frequencies. You understand me? We are the most powerful electric conduits. Mm-hmm. You understand me? Just based on our physicality.
Yeah.
And I think what happens with society, number one, jealousy, mm-hmm. but two is the lack of appreciation of our parts we're supposed to play on this planet.
Right.
You understand me? That, yeah, we gonna always be dark, melanated, beautiful, shiny, sheen beings. Mm-hmm. You understand me?
Yeah.
But when you allow things like the Hermetic prophecies that talked about, you know, when human beings developed so-called and developed intelligence, those were white human beings, and that being spread across the ecosystem of the planet Earth, creating a white supremacy. And then validated people like, well, man, we was charting star systems and speaking in geometry and using mathematical language, you understand me, before we ever seen a light-skinned person on this planet Earth. But you can't, if you want to do anything for race relations, you cannot forget about the story of time.
You can't.
And I ain't gonna ever call it history. History is just a lie.
Yeah.
The story of time is about what happened on this planet, the true history.
The true history.
And if you ever, if a white person or black person, brown, yellow, orange, all these frequencies of colors that represent subscriptions to different cultures, ideologies, values, norms, rituals, ever want to have a place where there's commonality and trust and alignment, you have to accept the truth of reality.
Yeah.
Not the stories that was told by the winners and conquerors that fit the propaganda of the controllers and rulers, but the true story on this planet Earth.
Yeah.
That's the only way we get to a true compromise between the people on this planet Earth that have a treaty of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
I always tell people the past is prologue. Until you, people say, why do you always study the past? Why are you into this ancient texts and ancient books and all? Because when you, until you understand what happened back then, you won't be able to build a future. The future is going to be built based on what you know about your true past and your true history. If you can't figure out at least as close as possible to what was happening back then, the future is still going to be a gray area.
Ah.
19 Keys, and this is
High-Level Conversation.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.